At a birthday party. Enjoy yourself, my brother. Oh, man. All right, let's get to it. Top of the top. King Kendrick takes down the boy. I know X is excited. He's a certified Drake hater.
X was loving that shit.
I'm 100% Drake hater, man. Hey, but you know what's so crazy? I talked to a friend of who's in the industry, and he broke it down to me, and I said, I think Drake was in—he was in a lose-lose situation because it was basically an all-out fight to destroy Drake, and it wasn't just—it was a lot, like a lot of artists who you kept seeing Drake say stuff to. A lot of them was really trying to destroy Drake because they felt like he had him and the people in control of him had too much power in the music industry, which is true. So a lot of them was like, well, it's only one way we can destroy him is by to assassinate his character and make everybody stop liking him. And the way he explained, he said, man, it's everybody who was after Drake. Nobody could do what Kendrick did. They say Drake just shouldn't have said anything to Kendrick. He should have let it be long. You know what I'm saying? He said Kendrick was the one who knew I could really take it there, and it's going to be believable, and people really going to start thinking. Because even when Pusha T did the Drake, it was like, okay, yeah, Pusha T, you won. You know what I'm saying? You beat the man up. Move along. What Kendrick did was like, you start to think like, hold on, man, this nigga Drake is really tripping, and oh, stuff like this. And that's what I was saying, yeah, man. The way he broke it down to me, I was like, oh, yeah, kind of feel bad. I'm like, man, shit, at the end of the day, I don't like him, but
it was a no win situation. Like, he wasn't gonna get credit for nothing he did, nothing,
bro. He couldn't have done anything, bro. That's how I feel.
It's like, okay. I put it this way. I was talking to my people. I was like, okay, Kendrick shoots the first direct shot on like that, right? Where he shoot at him and J. Cole. J. Cole bitches up. I don't care what none of y'all say. Don't be like, oh, that's his friend. But then my friend shouldn't have shot at me. Regardless, like, he know me and Cuz been cool. And you know, whatever static they had is they static. You didn't have to shoot at me. You shot at me too. But whatever, that's the no deal. He bowed out ungracefully, and that's done, right? So then when Drake comes back with the push-up joint, okay, cool, little jab, swings back. You know, he kind of went his regular thing, went kind of boppish with it. You know, he always give us them lines, you know, that people want to follow, like, Metro, shut your whole ass up and make some drums, nigga. Like, that's going to be iconic now. That's one of them ones you're just going to hear people say, like, shut the whole ass up and make some drum, nigga. Like, he's good for that. That wasn't crazy. Then he did the AI joint. I didn't like it. I liked it kind of conceptually, but I feel like I was like, yeah, it's just not that good song. Conceptually, I kind of like what he was doing. Like, it's kind of cool to do. Oh, part of me telling me that. Cool, whatever. That shit didn't hit. Then this nigga comes back with Euphoria. And I'm like, oh shit. This nigga. Bro, this nigga went straight. If you're a fan of battle rap, he went straight battle rapping. Got a little research and just, man, he just dissected the dude and just really went to work. He was just surgical with it, bro. Like, if you saw that one where, Loaded Lux, when at Calico, he had a suit on, and he was like just going crazy on him, like just educating him, like telling him you just another lost nigga. It was like just really on his educational, you tighten up type shit. That's what it felt like. And I'm, man, at first I hated it. I was like, because it started off with this Kendrick shit being all soft and tender. The superpowers getting neutralized.
Yeah, I ain't like, I couldn't finish that shit down there, bro.
Yeah, it was tough, dude. Like, once you get past that, I was like, all right, let me really listen to what Cuz said. I ain't gonna lie. And I'm a huge Drake fan. I like both of them, but if you made me pick one, like, as far as, like, what music I listen to more, it's easily gonna be Drake. It ain't even close. He cooked Cuz up something serious, man. He did him filthy. Yeah, these bars are just a little too vicious, man. This is a TED talk, a total display of how to dismantle a man's character. Rather, you know, lies. I don't believe the pedophile lies. But I haven't seen nothing to really substantiate that. I've seen some creepy shit, but I'm like,
yeah, lies don't come in any battle or any.
Yeah, that's part of it. Right. Yeah, lies. I'm cool with that. That to me wasn't really what the problem was. But like he played it so fucking smart. He played the ultra black card, like this is what he do. So then it's like, come on, man. You want to be black. You trying to be black. Ain't y'all feel like I feel? Like, hey, I don't even like that nigga saying nigga, right? And everybody's like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, right on.
Yeah, man, you're right. He shouldn't be saying nigga, man. You know. So I just really stepped back from the shit. Like, he really just did it the most appropriate way to where he would get the culture on his side. And that's what he did with the Euphoria joint. And I was like, eesh, gonna be a tough comeback. But then Drake dropped Family Matters.
Family Matters was hard.
Family Matters was hard. Family Matters for me is the best song.
Yeah, Family Matters.
It's the best song. It's the best song. But people didn't like how they say, oh, why he's saying like, oh, draw. Like, it's a club vibe type thing. But that's Drake, though. Like, he gonna make
but
the
he
shit.
Did. Three fucking beats.
Right, he gonna make the
three
shit.
Different.
Yeah.
Same way Kendrick did in Euphoria, because Euphoria was three different beats too.
Family Matters was hard.
Yeah, Family Matters was hard. Like, he really smoked the rest of the feature. Like, when he talked about Ross and A$AP Rocky and The Weeknd. He put them boys to bed. I don't even like if they're gonna respond, time's ticking. And we
it's too late. Like, it's too late now.
He really kind of out of time. If you was gonna say something, you probably should have said it by now.
I think it's too late. Like,
yeah, it's too late.
The Ross thing, like, I don't think anybody took the Ross thing serious at one. The A$AP Rocky thing, they knew them two been going at each other for a little minute. I don't know why everybody's surprised, but it's like A$AP Rocky is not that type of rapper. A$AP Rocky is
right.
He's a style rapper, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's for that moment. So it was like
he had a moment because he had a sound. That was just unique at the time because they was doing the whole chop and screw slash bone thugs, you know, with a Harlem twist to it. And it was really unique and shit at the time. I fucked with that first mixtape. Crazy. That shit was
amazing. First mixtape was hard, yeah.
But then, you know, the sound kind of fell off. So, yeah, he more of a fashion model now at this point. But cool, man. I mean, you know, he winning. I ain't knocking cuz, you know, he got a billionaire baby mama.
Hey, I would have did exactly what he did. I'd be like, man, fuck all y'all niggas in these rap. Who my baby mama is, nigga?
Yeah, nigga, so I got the prize at the end of the day.
And he stayed with him, yeah. So like, and he could get fucking caliber. Be like, I'm gonna grow closer to a certain lifestyle, bro. I can't, you can't take it from my mind, no matter what.
Yeah.
So another win for good guys on that. So I ain't hitting on ASAP at all. But then Kendrick smartly swings right back and steps on Family Matters. So he don't let Family Matters
like 5 minutes. 5 minutes later, right? He dropped that like.
I think they said it was literally like 43 minutes after. Literally that mean, but that's still super duper fast. Like, not even an hour. We didn't even get to let the song breathe.
And the way Drake rapped on Family Matters, I feel like Drake didn't think he was going to drop that fast. He thought like it was going to be a little time. He thought that was it. Like, this is last. This knockout. Yeah.
Yeah, he thought that was the new. It was like, uh-oh, he got you. And Family Matters, I didn't like that one as much because it felt way messier to me. I was like, all right, now we're getting a little chatty patty, a little.
You talking about the Kendrick one?
Yeah, the one we're talking about.
Like meet the Grams. Meet the Grams and all that.
Yeah, meet the Grams.
Meet the Grams.
Talking to his parents and shit. I was like, I get it. It's good for a battle. I like the sound of it. But at this point, it's like, all right, now we're going across that line of, now y'all niggas just getting gossipy too much. Like, all right, man, now it's getting a little bit just feel a little whole like to me. I ain't gonna lie to you.
A lot of it sounded forced too. Like, all right, that's a lie. That gotta be a lie. Like, ain't no way type shit.
But you pushing the image. I get it. Now, when Kendrick really just put it to bed, well, then he dropped that They Not Like Us. That was it. I don't even like this song. I'm a West Coast nigga when it comes to like musically. I fuck with the West Coast sound. I always have. I don't like the little part goes bam, bam, bam. It sounds like out of tune, like out of tune accordion. Don't like the song, but again, he came out, he made a bop. He made something they said he couldn't do. There's something ringing off on the clubs. Like, he beat Drake in his own game. Mm-hmm. He back-to-back Drake. You know, Drake did back-to-back. Because back-to-back to me is overrated. Like, people ain't like, oh, it's such a tremendous this song. I like the song, but I'm like, it ain't that hard. I mean, you know, he shot a few insults saying, oh, yeah, your girl is the breadwinner. You know, that type of shit. It wasn't that crazy. He had beans and shit. And that was it, man. That was the nail in the coffin. Kendrick wins, man. Flawless victory.
It was so smart.
Well, he warned them too. And you warned him. He told them, I like all your angles. I know how you're going to play this, so I'm going to counter punch everything you do. That's why he was able to drop the Family Matters joint, because while we was thinking Kendrick was scared, Kendrick was cooking up 12 songs.
He was plotting. He already had like a whole arsenal just waiting.
Because he, somebody hadn't told him, must be, you're going to try to play like it. You know, your lady split in, and that's, you know, that's going to be kind of one of his main angles, and that could be fucking white girls. Like, so that's going to be, you know, his main attack. So he got wind of that, and man, he played that shit, so he ain't even mention him fucking white girl.
He still probably got a couple more too, just in case.
Oh, he got them. Yeah, they say he recorded like 12.
Oh, songs. Listen, that boy Top say Kendrick got. He say he got a whole album for Drake. He got a whole album. He say, and that's that. Remember, I was telling you about the industry. So they basically like came at Kendrick. They like, man, look, stop it, man, because this you killing him. It's hurting.
You fucking up money, yeah. Because the fucking up. The Perry Pile shit is a crazy jacket to wear. Like, that's a, you know, nasty jacket to slip on, you know, especially when you're dealing with somebody we're going to speak on in a second. And then you had the R. Kelly situation in the past. So then you know, when you do that, bro, you really start fucking up money, man. So
yeah, big time.
People are like, hey, all right, we got to ease off the gas on this pedophile shit because it's too much money tied up in this dude. Like, we can't afford to, you know, take these L's right here. So I definitely believe that.
Yeah, that's nasty work right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, your name attached to that.
I kept telling people, when Kendrick dropped that Not Like Us, he unified the West Coast all over again. West Coast took it. They gravitated to it. They love it. And by him, when he dropped the, you think that this Oakland is going to be your last. And everybody immediately was like, yeah, man, we ain't fuck with you. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, yeah, you can't come to Oakland now. You know, like, damn, Oakland show.
You know what I'm saying? Just look at that's why I say, man, I told people from the get-go, I say, man, I thought Drake shouldn't have did. He should have just left it alone with Kendrick, man, because Kendrick just not an ordinary rapper. I've been saying that people be like, what you get from Kendrick is basically Andre 3000 in a solo career. And I say, man, if you listen to what Kendrick is doing, everything he did was strategic.
Yeah.
He dropped the fuck the big three, it's big me. Guess what? He was waiting for them to come back. He was like, okay, y'all come back. I got something for both of y'all niggas.
Of course. He threw the bait. So
like
you
said, Cole bowed out. He didn't want no parts of it. And it wasn't like Kendrick was going, it was going to be no I hate you type. It was just going to be like, Cole, I just got to show everybody that I'm better.
And see, that's what Mills didn't do. But see, that's what made me wonder what he had on Cole. I think he had something on Cole that he was going to try to spin. Because if this is going to be a battle of mics, I think you got to do that. Like, if it's just a skill contest, there's no reason for J. Cole to back out. Like, just go. Just rap, bro. But I think, you know, Schoolboy Q was at his Dreamville Fest or whatever. Dream Fest, whatever it's called. And he came out and did the show. They say Q was the one who convinced him to back out of the shit. So you know, QB and Kendrick, man, whatever, they obviously got to be cool too because he's doing the thing. He probably gave him like heads up, like, hey, I'm telling you, Kendrick going to go nasty with this. Like, he not going to go just rap shit. He already know how he planning on coming at you. So, you know, I feel like he had a little something on Cole that he's like, all right, nigga, now you want to get in the mud. It's going to get dirty.
Cole, you a man. You supposed to be like, I'm gonna get something on your ass too. You yeah. gonna go to war. Like, I ain't just finna just back down. Like, and I'm a Cole fan. That's what hurt me the most. Cause I was like, I didn't want you to do this. When you came out with your song, I was like, I expected more. And I say, okay, I see what Cole doing. Cole building it up to take off. And then when he did that, I was like, No, Cole. I just felt like somebody did this for Cole. Because I'm like,
I put it this way. I'm more disappointed that he pulled this than he dropped out of the fight because I'm like, bro, he deserved at least a slap back. So, and you ain't go crazy on that song. You kept it, you know what I'm saying? You kept it light jazz, far work, nothing to you. You ain't trying to take his head off. So just be like, well, that's my testament to what I can do, and it could get worse than that. I'm gonna leave it there because he wanted me. He ain't taking songs. He ain't taking like now, like that verse off, right? His like that verse still out there living number one in clubs and number one on the charts and all over the clubs in America. And everybody saying, "Don't fuck the big three motherfuckers." So his song lives. You should let y'all live. It wasn't even that hard of a diss, but you know, hey, he threw a jab at me. I threw a jab back. We pieced it up. Is there Jay and Nav ain't erased shit? They were talking greasy. They kept the shit up. The record still is up.
They cool to this day.
To this day, everything cool. But you know, hey, we had our little tip with your hands. Yeah, what it is. Now that's what I was more disappointed in. I'm like, leave the song, bro. Leave the song. Say, hey, you know what? I talked to my man, and we just gonna dead it. It's dead. So
we squashed it. We squashed it, man. We cool. We always been cool. Right. It was just the competitiveness of the music. I felt like I should have punched back, and I did. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we know all, like, especially when we were young, like, we don't really do this. Not black people. Not when we get grown. We don't get into too many scraps with our homeboys when we get older. But when you young, man, you know you don't tussle with one of your best friends. Y'all don't, you know, throw hands and this and that and other. And then, you know, everything love again. White boys do that shit, boy, until they late 30, boy. Them motherfuckers go out and get drunk together and fight themselves. All right. Go out together and fight your own team. Fucking try it again, Jeremy. I swear to God, bro. Fucking take off on his ass. Then they go home together. That's crazy to me. I tell you right now, nigga, as a grown man, you got one time to put your hands on me. We are no longer homies. That's the end of that shit.
Yeah, hey, that's, man, it.
Not to get off topic, but I was with some homies yesterday, man, and they was talking. And I think all of us around, well, we're around the same age, but it was an older guy who was in, he was 60 something, he was 68. And what he said, I immediately say, you know what? That's how I'm finna start feeling from now. He was like, man, he like, look, man, I'm 68. I ain't got no time to be trying to wrestle and fight y'all. He like, man, I'm finna start doing this.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, yeah, I agree, because man, I ain't got time to be trying to fight y'all niggas no more, man. Y'all got it. Just don't come try me, man, because I don't know. And I'm like, yeah,
exactly. I come in peace. That's what I tell everybody, man. I come in peace, but I plan on going home. I'm telling y'all that every time it's a problem. I'm going
to get to my house and to my kids.
My intention is to get home every day. I almost had an issue, man, with a dude. Well, I had an issue. Luckily, thank God, it was my girl. I ain't had it on me. But he was out there acting stupid. So let this be a lesson, y'all. I know y'all probably know this, but my girl, she was like, oh, go intervene, because it was a couple fighting in the parking lot. They weren't even physical. They just talking. I'm rolling my eyes the minute she said that shit. I'm like, this ain't the move. I'm telling you, mind the business.
She said intervene? Like,
yeah.
All right. That ain't none of your goddamn business.
Man. So exactly, I'm rolling my eyes. Leave this shit alone. But okay, I'm about to show you why you need shit like this. So we roll up. Luckily, the dude dropped his wallet. And so I was like, okay, cool. Now I got an easy in to be like, hey, bro, hey, you dropped your wallet. That'll help kind of get him away from her. I could might even just say, hey, man, everything cool. You know, these people might call the police on you out here, you know, like want to chill out or something like that, you know. Soon as I fed, soon as I roll up, roll the window down. He said, mind your fucking business. I light your ass up. I said, see. I said, see, this is why the fuck I ain't wanna come on. Because I don't play with that threat in my life shit. Like, man, I ain't even had it on me. So I'm butt naked really at the end of the day, but I'm tired of him. I'm like, nigga, you ain't got no pistol on you. I'm looking at your little 113-pound ass. I would see the pistol if it's on you. I got that. I'm trained for that type of action. But, you know, my hood nigga side just came out and I didn't start flipping this shit. Thank God I had that on me, because the way I think, the minute you say, I'm going to kill you or I'm going to shoot you, I don't care about your size, none of that shit. Like, I could easily skin them up. That would have been light work. But I'm not doing that. When you told me you're going to kill me, you're going to shoot me. So it's like two lessons to be learned. A, mind your fucking business. These people that do this kind of dumb shit in the streets, they're going to do it in a week. You ain't helping shit. This is how they get down, bro.
Just yeah, most of them, they ain't got shit to lose neither. So ain't
exactly. Exactly. And B, have it on you, and do not threaten people if you ain't ready to die. Because my natural instinct was to just go to reach the glove, but I realized I was in the wrong car. So I'm like, just don't play like that, man. I was like, bro, I was cussing up and down the street. I was like, you little bitch ass. I said, show me your gun, nigga. You gonna kill people. You out talking about killing people. You gonna light me up. Let me see what you got. I said, I knew he was so pussy. I was like, you show me yours, I'll show you mine. Yeah, he's you know, bitch mouth, man. Now he mush mouth, muting up and walking off, you know, kind of talking to his brother. It's like, two lessons there, man. Mind your fucking business and don't go out there talking about you're going to kill somebody. Man. You have to be prepared to die and kill at that moment. That shit ain't nothing to play with. He was blessed that day. He was blessed. I had. And I'm far from a tough guy. I'm an easygoing dude.
Your girl probably told you to intervene because it's less likely something major happens if like a woman go up and be like, hey, y'all chill out, it's a dude, and it turns into like fucking masculinity shit. Mm. Oh, you tried me, or well, what the fuck you just said to me, type shit.
Right.
But y'all never get into that shit.
Everybody know that, like people that meet me, they don't even know I'm from that. They just think I'm from the birds. I'm like, well, that's good. That's fine. I'm glad that's the image y'all got. But once you take me to that level, it's over. Hood nigga here now. Now we got to deal with the one that grew up a certain way. But that's that. Anyways, real quick, man. So Diddy, the video evidence drops of him beating the shit out of Cassidy at the hotel in 2016.
Stomping on him.
Man, kicking everything, cuz. Chasing her around. Nigga had a child on him. I'm like, bro. What the fuck? Which it didn't surprise me. Like, will you be all surprised at all?
Hell no. Nah. Cause I was like, that's just the one video we seen. He's probably been doing that. Multiple women.
That might be the lightest video of anything. Right. That nigga is a nasty, evil person.
Bottom line.
Was surprised. I'm like, man, I know what type of nigga this nigga. This nigga is a possessive, evil, just
egomaniac.
Yeah, he's terrible.
I never, you know, people was like, I want to say this real quick too. People was like, y'all need to put trigger warnings. Well, the video tell you what's coming on. It ain't like to jump straight into the ass. Open. So, you know, you're responsible for your own triggers, people. I'm sorry. I hate to tell you that. I said, shit, I didn't want to see, didn't have no warning, and it sucked. But that one actually warned you. Like, hey, this was about to come on the video. But yeah, the video surfaced everywhere. Yeah, he chased her down, kicked her, stomped on her, dragged her. And, you know, it's just like more evidence to just how foul and sick an individual this person is. You know, he's a dude that I never liked, bro. I always thought he was just slick. Something about him just always came off of me like just ingenuous.
Slimy, it's a slam ball, man. Matter of fact, shouts out to his dumbass son. For telling the family own house, guess what? They had the shit, dummy. They were waiting for you to say some dumb shit.
Right, they diss record back. Yeah, like when see what happens
on your dumb ass, dummy.
It's diss record season, right? So he dropped the diss. They said, "Oh shit, nigga, okay, all right, watch this one."
Yeah, the fans ain't gonna lose neither.
No, bro, they don't come around to us that time.
You know, They're not created to lose. The motherfuckers gonna win.
They're not there to investigate. They're there to confiscate and incarcerate. You are done.
Hey, say it again, Larry.
They're to confiscate and incarcerate. Your time is done. There's no more. This is cleanup. We've been surveilling for years and years and years, which I kind of don't like because they let the evil go on for forever. But that's how they operate. So that is what it is.
Yeah, they've been letting this nigga get away with shit since Pop and setting Biggie up, and he got away with all that shit, beating up his wife or baby mama with that man. This that
nigga, yep.
Nigga dog.
He was connecting with people, thought he killed her, Pac murder, the Big murder. You know, see, people fail to realize. Yeah,
even the it's new news coming out now that with the Shine incident, that Diddy the nigga who shot in the club first. It's
absolutely.
Shine just doing it.
Shine came out and said, finally, you know, some of the truth get to come out on that. He said that, and it was a witness. One of the victims said that Puffy the one shot. She was like, it wasn't Shine. Shine did not do that. It was Pop. So, you know, that's the thing about who is, we know him to have a temper. He's done exhibited many times. He went off on B. Steve Style Up about Hate Me Now video. You know, these are the things that were public. That was made public. So imagine the shit you never heard of. That was him, you know, he flew off the handle and fought Drake. He flew off the handle and fought J. Cole. The dude clearly has a temper and will fly into violence. That's just who he is. And it's crazy because what he always preaching. Brother love, man. Peace, love, harmony. East Coast, West Coast, that shit corny. We need to do it. I say, yo, if he's trying too hard. I always say, he's trying too hard. Something to tell me, because here you are on these records, you know, come on, y'all. Really, when we on Who Shot Him, I forget the other song, he's like, we ain't talking to no other rappers. I'm like, he talking to Pop, like, but then he'll come out the other side of his mouth and be like, nah, we don't feed into that, man. We just gonna stay over here and get money. And, you know, I got love for the West Coast and that. It was all too forced. It was all too it was all too orchestrated. Like, the dude gotta be he wanna be feared and loved at the same time. And that's just a hell of a combo to try to pull off. Like, they ain't gonna be able to just you know, you can't be a gangster that everybody loves.
It gotta be exhausting too.
Yeah, like, yeah, because you, like, who are you?
We spent, well, I'm gonna say media. You know, media and the people spent all that time persecuting Suge Knight because Suge Knight didn't give a fuck about being loved. Suge Knight was like, I want everybody to hate me. You know what I'm saying? But he said it.
But he was like, genuine in the stand, yeah. Like,
you know what I'm saying? P. Diddy like, oh yeah, I want everybody to love me and hate me at the same time. Like, nigga, you the way I want. Like, everybody not gonna hate you and love you. Like, just give it up. He's gonna love you or we gonna hate you.
Yeah,
are you looking at it like, yeah, nigga, we should have been hating your ass forever, like, nigga, you was individuals.
Hell, even in Game said on some interview, like, where he was basically linking Diddy to the whole thing about when on that song he got with Drake called 100, well, that was linked to Diddy too, where they was trying to line Drake up out there. That was after they whole little incident, and all that shit started from the bottom. I'm like, what the fuck would you even do to that beat, number one? And again, like, bro, who are you? This dude be really acting like he God out here. Like, he got the beat. It don't, if he got the beat, he went through the proper channels to get the beat. So if you got a problem, it's got to be with the person who gave him the beat. But he's an egomaniac and a child who ain't never been, you know, scolded because he had this money, and money buys you power. But I think what end up happening ultimately to him is he pissed off the wrong people. And I think that's the same thing that you've seen with Drake a little bit. I think Drake was getting a little too egocentric and a little too big. His ego was growing a little too big for some people with the money.
Cocky
and they
shit.
Was like, yeah, they was like, all right, we got to spank him a little bit. Like, we still won't get money with him, but somebody got come on this motherfucker down. Like, he coming in here talking to us crazy. Like, we ain't the one cutting the checks and pushing the buttons. Regardless, like, yeah, you a hit maker. You help bring money in. But, yeah, you gonna have to check some of that shit, boy. We ain't going to, like, you ain't going to step in my office talking to me like that. I will check that you cash. Don't forget it. So, I don't know. It's crazy, man. But hopefully they get that dude completely up out of here. Under the jail. Fuck him. I don't care nothing about Diddy. He ain't never did nothing.
So I mean, it got to be over with him, right?
Yeah. I don't see how he could have anything.
Man, listen. The Secret Service do not come to your house to not fuck you up. I mean, you could maybe let the feds escape. Maybe the DEA. The Secret Service, we're talking about, this might be one of the highest power law enforcement in the United States. They ain't coming to your house just to come to your house.
In the fucking world.
He dropped an apology, you know, and just saying he's sorry. He was rock bottom.
Ah, man. God damn it. Apology.
No, you're just a piece of shit. A freaky, nasty piece of shit individual. That's all. Yeah, that's all it is to it. We ain't got all that extra. You, man, listen, man. Ain't nothing you can say gonna repair your image. It is done. He did look like he was out there with Russell Simmons, though.
That's what I was saying. If I'm Diddy, nigga, I'm Russell. I'm coming.
See, let me follow. Yeah, man, let me follow out of here. Ain't no way y'all got to lock me up now. Only an egomaniac, but he is one. Because think about this: the feds got the tape. How and why? Because he didn't destroy it. They confiscated. He confiscated that from that hotel.
Yeah, they talking about he paid them $50,000 to not release the... Man, you got your gun. You got your motherfucking mind. This thing that we talking about. $50,000 is going to stop me from releasing shit.
I think he had to pay way more. Or either he did and put some violence behind it that they believe. Like, yeah, I'm gonna give you this. You give me that tape, and if you try to resurf it in any type of way, I Tupac your ass. He probably said some shit like, "Niggas believe him. Like, hey, just take the money, my nigga. Like, fuck it. You know what I mean? Like, just give him the tape, take the money."
Nah, we talk about the Paris Hilton, the Hilton.
Yeah, man. I don't believe that $50,000 either.
They don't care nothing about you. Talk about you finna Tupac, man, nigga. We don't give a fuck about that. You gotta do that shit.
Well, how you gonna take
money?
I'm
saying he had to pay way more. It wasn't no
fee. Oh,
yeah. He had some more money.
Well, yeah. Either way. Why are you destroying it? That's going to show you how sick he is.
They said something about, like, I forget the word. They say, like, maniacs, they don't destroy none of their
evidence. No, they don't. They like to keep it off on their evidence. Yeah, it's like mementos to them. Yeah, they enjoy having that type stuff. That's how they got him, because he got everything he got. His blackmail tape, so whoever, you know, Jamie Foxx and they freaking off with Trey Songz or whatever it was, you know, allegedly, I don't know none of this shit, allegedly, but you can't sue me for shit no way, but, but you know, whoever was doing whatever at a new party. Yeah, he kept it all. He blackmailed and he kept it all, so now they got it all. It's a crazy mixtape. I don't think none of y'all want to hear that one drop. See that one.
Yeah, all of them telling, man, Diddy, go ahead, man. Go ahead and turn yourself in. Come out, man. They better fuck all of us.
That's a nasty mixtape, boy.
Yeah, Diddy, turn yourself in, man. You fucking everybody up right now.
You take that a whole
new surprise. He ain't got wet yet.
Bruh, that is some sick business he got out there. But yeah, you know, worst of luck to you. Fuck you. I hope it goes terribly for you, man. Anyway, y'all boys want to talk a little football?
Yes, sir. What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
Degrees, your mind, Hurricanes, football, barbershop talk. Here, which is as usual, man, your main man, Larry. Glad to be here. Took a little brief break, off season, slow time. So we figure we'll pile up a little bit of news if we can. Nah, it is, man, slow cycle. I know y'all football junkies be wanting something you know, snack one every day, pause. Ain't always that way. So anyways, we back though. Got some we got a little talk for you. Great shop talk, I think. Again, I think y'all gonna love that one. So I hope you enjoyed that. And then yeah, we're gonna get into a little football talk today. Got my main man back with us in the building, fresh off the turnpike. It is Turnpike Measy Measy. Say hello to the people.
What it do, man. 26 degrees with the gang, the crew on this lovely Sunday, man. We got the Real Field General X in the building. Holler at the people.
Yo, 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 what's good? We back, we back. Hey, y'all, look, y'all better get used to Measy for a little bit, man. You know, he get back on that turnpike soon, man. He gonna be busy.
Yeah, we gotta take advantage of you on summer break right now. Y'all know, you know, Measy educated.
No, my break is 3 weeks. We got like 3 weeks left.
3 weeks. Okay, yeah. So, you know, yeah, we got a little, it's not the most prime time for news, but hey, we're gonna do what we do while we can do it. So we're gonna get right into it. There's not a whole lot of action. We got we did get a commitment from our offensive tackle. And basically, so we're gonna speak on that briefly, and then we're gonna get into essentially the transfer portal. What is given and what it has quote unquote taken away. That is how the transfer portal works. I think we got a lot to cry about, but it is what it is on the departures. So real quickly, the commitment we got, the three-star kid, we were definitely his best offer at this point in time. But
South Carolina, I started picking up some big offers later on.
Yeah, that's how it always goes.
Guys that, you know, the staff, they feel like it's a project guy that they can coach up and be a good player for them. Remember, we lost a commitment with Larry Williams.
Yeah, they didn't like him, so that was good.
I told everybody, I said, look, don't be happy. I want to see the kid when he come down here on at the camp. I seen him at the camp, and I immediately said, yeah, but the staff take him. I don't know what the fuck they doing.
Yeah, it ain't going to happen. And they know O-line, so I'm not ever tripping on the O-line.
You know what's crazy, too? When he committed, he got a pretty big ratings bump. And I'm like, man, that just showed me, again, all that just depends on, you commit to a big school, now you get this jump.
Right,
our boy's not good.
It changes things.
So he's just a big, he's a big body, but he's not like that at all. But yeah, so this kid we got is
to Kalen Mew.
Yeah,
Maybe okay, that's what I was thinking.
It might be Mew. I don't know.
Mewx, something like that. We getting it pretty
about 6'4", 340, 330, between 330, 340. Can play inside. Most likely is going to play inside, but yeah, he's a big body, strong, big, real strong kid.
He's nasty too. I watched his huddle. He's a nasty kid. He finished. He played to the whistle. Now he got a streak in him. You know what I'm saying? He got that mean streak to him. Obviously, you know, and that's always the key with offensive linemen. It really, when you see the highly rated offensive lineman, it's usually because their technique is already far advanced.
That's already there.
The measurables are going to usually be fairly similar. So what usually to separate them and give them the high rating is obviously good guy body composition and athleticism and then technique. Like, okay, cool. Like you look at Samson Okolola and you look at Frankie. Mile Noah, right? So one had the size already and the technique. When you looked at Okolola, he had a lot of the size. Technique still needs some polish. And so, you know, they brought him in to help, you know, get all that worked out together. But the athleticism and the and just like I said, the general makeup was kind of undeniable with a guy like that. His problem probably really honestly was some of the competition and everything. And he needed to work on his technique. So, but we got a staff, man, where the eye for this type of thing is good. That's why we ended up, you know, taking a commitment and then moving on. Like, hey, you know what? We misevaluated that one. We're going to go ahead and let him go out there and do his thing. You are not coming on this campus. no offense, but we know what we're doing here. You're not one. So I don't worry about their evaluations there because when it was in Oregon, it wasn't a line full of five stars, but they always had a good old line. Those guys were going on to the league. You know, so that's a great testament to just what they do. And they weren't littered with five stars. And I don't think you have to be an offensive line. I think our best offensive lineman is a three-star. So, in a Dez Cooper. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. I don't know what the offensive line recruiting in general is looking like this year. I don't know how many super big fish there are out there.
You're saying it's a down class.
Yeah, I'm saying in general, I haven't really seen a lot of O-line kind of at the top of that elite level in this particular cycle. So I think this may be one of them. You know, everybody's been comparing it this way lately is draft versus free agency. I think this is a draft where you're going to try to find some diamonds in the rough on your O-line, maybe the lower half of your class, and see if you can get something special out of that and you know, chisel that diamond out of that, you know, rock and see if you got somebody like that. So watching this tape, I mean, obviously he's big. He can lose a little weight, but he's not sloppy either, though. You know, he could probably drop 15 pounds and be in a better physical composition altogether. But I see what they like him. And I'm going to trust the evaluations. And look, when they screw up on evaluations, they call the kids and say, yeah, you know, let's keep it buck. You might want to call Campbell back. Campbell always one of them first offers, man. Who the hell is Campbell? Anybody know what the Campbell Camels? I'm about to Google that shit. No
hey,
idea.
Why they let what's the boy who we dropped? What's the offensive lineman name?
That we dropped?
Yeah, that from Jacksonville. Yeah, like so if they didn't have like good eyes on him, why did they let him commit in the first place instead of saying why didn't he just wait and be like, oh, we'll see you when you come down here?
Well, because he came to their camp. He came to Miami camp and he was good at Miami camp. But then it was like we'll allow you to commit, but, you know, we still evaluate you. You know what I'm saying? And that's how it goes. Like, if he did good, guess what? They still want him to be committed.
Right, and then if he falls off, it's like, all right.
Once he start going to camps and they start seeing and everybody else start talking about it, we're like, oh, yeah, that's not.
So what's the difference with this guy?
Well, he's building his name up. He's doing a lot better at camps. He's doing good at camps. He's not getting beat at every camp he's at.
So I guess he had an evaluation a little bit later. So he's pushing his name versus Miami pushing his name, I guess, would be the difference. Like you said, you saw a kid get a bump. So, I mean, you're always going to have some misses with evaluation. I ain't got no problem with that. I'm glad they, you know. In the business of football, they hit him up like, hey, this ain't, you know, it ain't gonna work, bro.
He went to the same high school as Jeremiah Payton, too, the wide receiver we had committed or who we signed like a few years ago.
Oh, no, he was at Miami for a couple years. He just,
forgot about him, bro. That's crazy how you, it'll be a kid, bro. You
he was a top player. He was like top 50 in the nation, too.
Yeah.
He was top 50.
But what I just said, that wide receiver to me seems to be, especially them four stars. Like
it's so many of them. There's 40 full star receivers. Like all, most of them ain't gone. You know what I'm saying?
Pan out.
It's so many of them. Yeah.
Oh, I found out where Campbell is. It's in Buse Creek, North Carolina. I always see that when I'm on like low rank guys. They always on the first people to get them kids off. Shout out to them.
Yeah, I know about them because of their basketball school or their basketball program. I think we was in the same conference.
Oh, okay. I was like, I don't know what the hell it is. I never seen a Campbell.
Charlotte, too. Charlotte be on them boys early, too.
Yeah, Charlotte. Charlotte's always on them early schools, too. Absolutely. But anyways... So we're just going to kind of actually, with that said, we're going to get into the transfer form. Y'all want to look at the departure first? Since we kind of, I think for the most part, this class is done.
Did we speak on the departures?
Yeah, we spoke on all of them. We haven't had any since we talked about
since the last time.
Yeah.
Did we mention Fabian Riley?
Yeah, we mentioned Riley.
Riley in Colorado.
Yeah.
Marcellus ended up at Michigan State. You
know, we spoke about all of them because remember we was like, if any of the guys we kind of felt, damn, was Marcellus Pulliam. Everybody else.
Yeah,
was like,
we thought he had. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
That was surprising to me, though. Man. I ain't gonna hold you. I thought that was surprising.
Terrence Williams went to Charlotte, bro. Frank Laughlin at UMass. That is crazy.
Who went to Charlotte?
Frank Laughlin. Terrence Williams. He went to Charlotte.
I know he went to Charlotte. Damn.
That's what I'm saying. It's something we done probably forgot. Like, I forgot was even on squad. We ain't got to do deep dive or nothing, but I was just looking over him real quick. Yeah, DeFari Harvey go to SMU. Cheney,
what's his name? The boy, he just went to Virginia Tech. Caleb Spencer.
Yeah, Caleb Spencer.
Slash yeah, he went to Virginia home. Tech.
Yep. Yeah, I think he had a lot of potential too, but I think that room, the flow is getting elevated quick, and I think he is more of a linebacker than the safety.
He was a tweener, so, yeah.
Yeah, if he would have been more of a safety, I think he'd still be with us because I think the opportunity would be more in tune right. with him, but yeah, I just didn't see it happening at linebacker. And Harrison Hunt, obviously, we talked about went to SMU. My man, ex-favorite pickup, Demetrius Freeney, has no home as of right now. You know what's crazy, though? How is Cyrus Moss still without a home?
Because he 100 pounds with no film.
Can't gain no weight, I guess. It's something. I think you know what it must be.
He should have stayed at safety in high school, probably, because that's what he played originally. Because I know with his size and stuff, people thought he was probably going to like fill out and get big, but he ain't never get bigger. Then his dad had occasion for like dealing with all that stuff.
Yeah, I think he should do like another guy that he left, but recently just found a home.
Citizen did.
Yeah, I think. Best step is take a step back, go play, for a group of five, and just get your legs back under you, get your football legs back under you.
Get some film.
Get some film.
It's hard,
and
though.
Then people gonna look again. That's
like Cyrus Moss was like a top, damn near top 50.
He was almost he was like 37 in the country.
Yeah, so it's hard for them boys, like. You got to face reality. You got to
put it aside. Yeah.
Yeah.
We see a lot of that, like you said, it'd be parents, it'd be handlers around.
No, you saw response. You, yeah.
No, you not no more. This game, one thing I always try to reiterate to people, especially as a college football fan, or really even the NFL, it don't matter. This game will keep moving. This game is never going to slow down for you or any individual. I don't care who you are.
Coaches are always recruiting to replace you next year. Hey, yeah. You're not getting replaced. Guess what? You in for a big awakening.
Because Cyrus Moss, he's not going somewhere big, and it's damn near. We about almost in June, 2 months away from the football season. So I'm like, either you're not going to play, or you go to goddamn Campbell.
I know they're looking for talent.
Yeah.
Go to Campbell.
That's probably your first offer. I didn't offer him kids.
Don't belong down there. You bounce back. Because people were asking me that about about Citizen. They were like, I thought y'all was saying Citizen looked good. I said, well, the word I got from Citizen did look good to the past hand. I think he still has an issue trusting his knee. That's the problem with a lot of athletes with some of these knee injuries, foot injuries. A lot of times they have problem regaining that confidence. So I think he got passed up because he just wasn't there quite mentally. I think he probably is there, but you have to start believing in that knee.
And he's probably not even in game shape. It's a lot of stuff going on with him. Right. He really ain't played football in like a game in 2 years now.
Right. So for him, I think this was a really smart move to go take a step down. Almost JV it a little bit and see where you stand at that
level. But State not no slouch at their level. I mean, I'm saying? They still like respectable. So
yeah,
for what get on TV right. a couple so times a year still. Yeah.
You get to go back home, you can be close to your people. You know what I'm saying? Go down there, enjoy seeing your people, try to get yourself back into football shape. If you go crazy at McNeese, guess what? Everybody's going to be your dog. Wisconsin going to be there. All these schools are going to start. They're going to be, hey, you ready to step back up? And so that's what I think Cyrus Small's situation should be. And I don't know the man's situation, so I'm not speaking on it from any type of inside information. But I think that so often becomes a issue where you got handlers and parents who their ego somehow gets inflated through the success of their child and not understanding that success don't mean nothing no more. Now it's the next level. And you would think that adults would really understand, bro, this the top no quick ticket for nobody. The yesterday's hot shit will be nothing no more. 50 Cent was the hottest shit since Fifth Grease for 2 minutes. And then we moved right on past 50. Now, he was smart enough to maneuver it in other ways and get other money. But when it came to music, man, we moved off of Fifth so fast, that shit was over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how a lot of things in life go. Time keeps on turning, but the clock keeps on ticking. So best of luck to him. I hope you do find yourself in a good situation shortly. Let me see. I don't think there's anybody else really particularly notable I want to.
Yeah, I think notable wise, I was pretty much it. I'm trying to.
That's it. I forgot about Jahlil Burrows. Man, so it's funny when you look back and be like, who the hell?
Hey, what did Lawrence Seymour commit to?
Who?
Lawrence Seymour, the offensive lineman we got.
Last cycle, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah, I don't see Seymour on him.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Seymour was last cycle. I forget what he went. I think he took a step back too, though.
I think. Hey, Lawrence Seymour was last cycle. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Big Baby, I think. Where he end up going? You remember?
That's what I'm thinking about. Wait, that is Big Baby.
Yeah, Big Baby Seymour.
He went to University of Louisiana Monroe first, and then he went somewhere else.
Okay. I about to say, I think he went to like FAM or something. But anyways, so we'll get into the additions, right? So, like you said, this is the new world. High school is your draft, and transfer portal is your free agency. So, for us, obviously, the some of the very first early additions was Zach Carpenter, who we brought in to, you know, be our center.
From Indiana,
yeah. He originally was committed to Michigan. You know, they do well in offensive line. I believe he had a family situation where he wanted to go back home, if I'm not mistaken. I'm quoting on that. I believe he had something he wanted to get close to home. Ended up transferring to Indiana. Played well for those guys. And kind of like Matt Lee looking to come in and solidify himself. Center is not a sexy position when it comes to draft. You know, Matt had a great year. Great career all in all between UCF and Miami, but you know, he was a late draft pick, and that's just what it's going to be with when you don't have a lot of line versatility. So I think Zach still wanted to come and improve it and work with two great offensive line coaches, for you know, one more year to put himself out there. So I think that's what you got in that situation. So he's going to be our starter at center. I don't think, you know, I was hearing, this is a guy I used to ask about a lot about because we were so high on him, and I liked him a lot in camps and stuff too. I thought he did really well, was Ryan Rodriguez. So Ryan right now is the backup to my understanding. And I think worst case scenario, if something were to happen to Zach and we had to go to Ryan, I would feel pretty comfortable from you know, just things I've been hearing around. I think he'll be our center next year. So they're looking, obviously, I think, for, you know, somebody to reload behind him. We had a couple of misses on center previous, but I think Ryan, with the, you know, recovering from the injury, I think he's kind of fine back from that. But center is on the O-line, especially, it's a bit of a complicated position, and it gets a little underrated as far as you really have to be on point with reading the defense and, you know, adjusting protections and whatnot. So I think we could use another year of learning that part.
They're not too confident with the backup center thing. which is why they was looking for somebody they could probably pull out the portal. They most likely gonna get another center next year again out the portal. Just what it is, because they not confident. Obviously, when you lose Matt Lee at that level of his playing ability, it's like shit. We're kind of not close.
I think this is just what I heard around too. So don't run to the bank with it. But I was saying they like Ryan, just not quite ready yet. So I think put it this way: even if they go next year, which wouldn't shock me, to get a veteran guy at center, I think you may have like a real competition next year versus this year. Zach was brought in to be the center. Everybody, no question about it. I think you give Ryan another year to get back in football shape and learn, how to be that general or that O-line. I think it'll at least be in a competition next year. Anyways, after that, you can go look at some additions on the D-line. We got Marlon Cook from Middle Tennessee State. This reminds me of Manny when we lost to FIU when they got their kicker.
Hey, X, I think that practice. My fault, man.
No.
How Marley Cook look to you?
He's good. He's more of a pass rushing D tackle.
I figure because he's not that big.
The clock is the stuffer. He's the stuffer, man. That's a huge. He's a huge wide body. He was wide. Like that number five was on his jersey was wide. So I'm like. Shit.
Yeah, because Clark just listed actually had a shade under 300. So he listed at 6'2", 298. So, yeah, like I said, more of that pass rushing. But he's active. I mean, he gave us – if you go back and look at that Middle Tennessee State, that's why he got off.
Yeah, I remember him in that game.
Yeah, he made his mark. So it's well-deserved, well-earned.
It's crazy. We lost to Middle Tennessee State last year, and then we lose to North Carolina State this year. We go and get their two best D tackles.
Right.
Yeah.
Chestnut Tuckers. He was rated as a four-star in the portal. So, he was highly regarded in terms of Marley Cook.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, in the portal rankings. Like X just mentioned, C.J. Clark. Big body when I'm stuffer, double team type guy to help free up some other stuff. Another good addition because we don't really have a lot of those bodies on that defensive interior. I think
we lost a few too.
Yeah, we're athletic, and even in losing like Jared Harrison Huntland or going to SMU, Jared is a good player, but he's still kind of that tweener. He's not a huge guy. And I think when you went to Marlon Cook, I think you upgraded from him. Jared would have played, I'm sure, but I think that was an upgrade from Marley Cook to Jared Harrison Hunt.
Jared thing is he wanted him some more money. He just wasn't finna get it over there.
That's what he's paying. They got Dallas money.
Your time
they got Dallas oil money. They'll pay. Everson, he was doing Miami shit before Miami.
A lot of people, back in the days, they had a damn 30 for 30 about that.
Yeah, check that 30 for 30 if you didn't, man. It was dope. It was paying for play.
It was
nice. The Pony Express, they call them. What mm-hmm. was kicking ass.
Yeah. Eric Dickerson.
Eric Dickerson.
What was the white boy name?
That was real nice. That's crazy. We both like, who's the white boy? White dude, he was nice.
Go ahead, I'm gonna find
it. I can't see that shit so long. That's the 30-30 hit the streets like 30 for 30 back. It was coming out, bro. It was almost like movies was dropping. You
bro, it was like when The Last Dance dropped, everybody was watching them.
Yeah, like
yeah,
such and such. And they so,
especially that Miami know, ones.
30 for 30 ain't disappointing me yet. If there probably was a 30 for 30, I was disappointed. It was probably the second Miami. It just didn't have the same pop as that first one did. It was good, don't get me wrong. First one just got certain.
No, that first one was wild, bro.
The first one, I think, probably, even the non-Miami fans, is probably regarded as.
They was. Everybody was. Ones. If you watch football, college football, you was you watching like, that. Yeah.
This shit is crazy. Anyways, moving on through. We got Isaiah Taylor. We don't really need to talk about that too much. A little nepotism.
That's not the Isaiah, man. We get to keep Daddy on the staff.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even think he's going to play special teams for us. But, you know, welcome aboard. It's fun to have you back home, hang out with you.
Hey, whatever keep Joy Taylor around, he got to get it done.
What?
So whatever keep baby around.
That's that baby, huh?
He might have to be head coach one goddamn day.
I'm coming with my old lady. I hope she ain't done.
Might have to give her a little whistle or something.
Might jump there.
Might make the news.
She's so goddamn bad.
Might make the news that day. What are you doing? Oh, Lord, we have an idiot on the field.
Right.
Oh, shit. Anyways, welcome along, nephew. And next, we have one of the highest PFL.
Craig James, my fault. Craig James. The running back, white boy, SMU.
Oh, no. Damn, Craig James. Yeah. That was a good one. Yeah, you had to do that one. In a way, you just call that one. One of the highest edge rusher, according to PFF, Elijah Austin, out of Marshall.
That was a big pickup to me.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have too much pass rush. I think what we have is nice, but injury bug can bite a little bit, and then you got to deal with that. So,
like it did last year.
Yeah, it definitely bit us last year. Still looking at that weird mustache, man. And still ain't your biggest fan, I'll just be honest.
Wait, who?
Tell about
the strength and conditioning coach.
Mustache, man.
Mustachio, man. I don't, I look at him funny, bro. I don't want to see all these beat up ass players this year. That shit happened again, man. Mario, come on, man.
But what if the players just ain't used to, like.
That's his job. Used to what?
I mean, like, they not used to, like, what if he, like, just outwork or, like, works them more than the previous one? They body's not adjusted to it yet. I don't know. I'm just trying to say.
Job to make sure they body ready for football and can take the punishment of a football season.
Because Oregon players weren't dropping like this.
I think so, yeah. Like, I don't know. Maybe.
It's weird. Everybody hurt. Everybody was getting hurt last year.
How long was he with Oregon, though? Was he just with Mario like a year before? I think he was with Georgia before that.
That's a good question.
I'm not sure. I don't think he was with Oregon all that long. But, Elijah Austin, premium fast rusher. Obviously coming from a lower level, so you got to see what he does at this level. But still a good pickup. Good pickup there. Then you have Reese Poffenbarger. He is quarterback out of
Albany State.
Yeah, Albany State. Albany. Yeah, he.
So he went. He was there when Jared Burst was there. I just thought.
Yeah,
about
originally. That. Yep.
Aaron Fell got to Oregon in 2018 as a strength and conditioning coordinator. So that's pretty much the same amount of time Mario was there.
Okay. Well, he must like him. Maybe it's just been a streak of bad luck. We'll see. Like I said, this year is going to be a real telling year for me. I just like to see a healthier team in general.
Yeah.
Reese Poffenbarger, we just had to get a quarterback in to help elevate that room. At the time, we had Jakari at as well. And a lot of beef in his potential, but we needed to continue to push him. So that's why Reese was brought him on. He real up and down about what I hear about him. Like, one day you hear, like, he down Baker Mayfield. The next day you hear,
that spring game one day, though.
He Tony Baker comedy, you know what I mean? Like, just a pimple with day of the week.
Baker Mayfield, or he's, what's the Tate guy for us that came from Ohio State?
Tate Martell.
I mean, he could be Baker Mayfield. Yeah, Baker Mayfield had his times where he looked like trash, so he just ain't consistent.
Yeah, but he y'all quarterback now. He looks solid now.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know if he was.
He got paid too. But
yeah, it don't take but a good season. I mean, he looked solid. Yeah. He
did look solid last year.
He don't look like a number one pick quarterback. He looked like Kirk Cousins, maybe. A poor man.
No, I ain't gonna put him. I ain't gonna put him at Kirk Cousins level. But
I think a poor man Kirk. That's what I said. Let me
poor man.
Back a little bit. A poor man's Kirk Cousins.
I was like, shit.
Now, I won't say he quite Kirk, even though, you know, Kirk again up and down, but Kirk catch more hell than he should. At this point, I guess if we're going into the season, it would be we're gonna go obviously Cam. Who do you think two is though right now?
Emery.
Emery is number
two. Emery to clear two? Okay. And then so Reese would be at your third position.
Yeah, Reese is just, you know, if you need him to come in, he's gonna always be great.
Pray if he come in that he, you know, more of a gamer than what we got to see.
He's game ready. He'll take off and get the first down. He'll do that for us.
All right. Yeah, sometimes you got to take what you can get. Next, we had Michelle Powell, safety / corner.
So what's the thing? Star. What's the thing with him? Because they say they was trying to move him, like work him at corner and slot, but basically they really want him to be safety, right?
No, they really want him to be the safety. They want to bring in other guys who could cover, be the money slot guy.
But we ain't had the players at corner, so that's why they were moving in there.
He didn't have a good depth at safety at home. So if you got him at money star, you know, he gonna be running a lot. Sometimes he comes out of the game. You just need, you know, senior veterans and stuff back there. So which is why they went and tried to get they tried to bring in some more safeties, but as of now it didn't work out so far. We got corners, we got Hill. Who will come in and play the slot or the outside corner?
Yeah, I mean, what you got to like about, you know, Meech Powell is he does have that versatility. I do think he plays the best at safety, I think. And
big game experience, too.
Right, yeah, older guy, veteran guy coming in to try to make a little money and solidify, you know, draft position, that type stuff. And he helped our room in general because, you know, safety just – this is a real important cycle for us to get a little more talent in that room, losing those two guys in the league, obviously. And obviously, you got Cam Ward. We can talk about that to death. Cam's a special college quarterback. Believe the hype, everything I've been hearing is, you know, great returns on the investment. No real worries here. Starting quarterback. That's an upgrade for my starting quarterback.
We finally got us an alpha dog in that room. We ain't had an alpha dog in that room, and I don't know when, but we got us an alpha dog.
I'll take it. Yeah, quarterback room's been messy, you know, man. He tried to fix it some, and he made some strides, but yeah, it's just had to be what you want from a position where leadership is the key. Like X said, where's that alpha dog that really, truly – I mean, like I said, we kind of always skip over Derek. I think Derek did bring that in. Manny did that. But then it was like trying to find that line of succession to follow Derek's.
I think the difference between Ward and Derek is that, you know, Derek didn't really demand. He didn't, you know, when you were a quarterback, you kind of demand the rest of your team to either be on your level or better. Mm. He didn't demand it. He just kind of said, well, I'ma just be this for that team.
I think.
And Ward is demanding those guys to be good. He like, man, look, you either gonna be good and you're just not getting this ball, or I wouldn't team and stuff like that. He's demanding. You see the offense. Right receivers in particular, they step their game up. You know what I'm saying? So that's what the difference between Cam Ward and Derrick King. Derrick King was excellent for us. It's just that he just wasn't a demand type. He was just like, okay, well, look, y'all just
right. He'll do it.
Come on, my back, I got y'all.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Cam Ward, that y'all want to lift it because you see me going, and everybody ain't built like that.
So
I like that attitude. Look, like. Quarterback got to be like, listen, man, if your ass ain't doing the right thing, I ain't throwing you the football. That's just what it is. I don't give a shit. Feel how you feel. I'm just demanding you do what is right, and I'm going to get you the football. If not, you get the damn football. Can't never be mad at that. Highly coveted. Yeah, like I said, we done been through that. We threw a party. Had an after party and all that. Shout out to Rick Ross. Deonnie Hill, cornerback Marshall.
Play cornerback, slot, outside corner for us.
Originally out of Florida, correct? I think he out of, what, like the Jacksonville area? Gainesville, that's right.
Gainesville area.
Gainesville area, 6 foot. Still a little slight, 172, but I did get to look at some of his stuff because I was hearing like how good a tackler he is. But God, especially that size, he is a real sound tackler. So, you know, a lot of defensive coordinators will tell you, you as good as your cornerback tackle as far as what your defense is going to be. So, that was another weapon for Gidry.
He should be played with Coach. He played for Coach Gidry. Played for Coach Chavis Jackson. So,
right.
Yeah, he knows.
Well, you got familiarity. They know his heart. They know his ability. They know he'll go tackle. Not a terrible coach. Definitely helps the room. Just in general, something we had to do to raise the floor in the room. We had to at least get a warm body. But I don't think it's just a warm body. I think it could be an actual contributor. Because you remember, we brought in Freeney as one of the top corners in the portal at the time. Got with us, and we found out that was his goal. So, I never get excited. I don't know what he's doing out there. That was one of the funniest. It wasn't even me. It was being just genuine. I don't know what the brother's doing. Except making these freshmen believe they're way better than they are. Getting there, cooking his ass up, sauteing them, put them in a little onion with some red wine sauce.
Them boys being practice like, oh boy, Freely guarding me today, coach. I got something.
Yeah. Like, giving them boys all sorts of false confidence.
Yeah, got them making highlight films on this dude.
Right. Yes. He actually, you know what? He actually scheduled to go to SMU too for a visit. And I don't know if they take him there, nothing like that. But he visited.
Wait, who?
Freedy. Yeah, Demetrius Freedy. He's scheduled to go see SMU on some officials or whatever. So we got a couple more guys. We got Jalen Alderman,
the linebacker.
Linebacker out of Louisville. We spoke on him before. Definitely going to be a contributor. Just keep, kind of keep pushing that room. I think that's what kind of pushed.
He was productive as hell last year too.
Yeah, hell of a player. He's a Georgia boy. Slightly undersized, probably in general. He's, they list him at 6'1", 230.
Yeah, he's a little shorter than the rest of. Because I think all our linebackers are like 6'2", 6'3", better.
Right.
So he's probably
slightly smaller, a little bit of a throwback linebacker for us, but I think with more speed and more proven productivity than the ones we had previously had. Like, I don't get too caught up on size, like when it comes to linebacker. The Buccaneers and Meezy team got a damn good linebacker that's, probably 5'11", the damn stuff. So
yeah.
I don't get too caught up on that. If you got the instincts and the speed to hair to get where you need to be, and you can bring the guy.
I feel like in college, it depends more who you playing, though. Like, what opponents you're playing.
Because
I feel like if you're playing against big dogs, them undersized linebackers, it's really just not going to cut it.
They're going to attempt to just run at you.
Because the best of the best undersized ones are the ones who make it in the NFL.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Still a great addition to the room as it gets a little bit older, a little wiser. Miley Noah will be out of there, I'm sure, after this year. A lot of people said he could have won this year, but I think he's coming to raise a stock. So I think it's probably his last year with his underrated linebacker. I don't think enough people
very talk about
it. But I think it's because of our record. That's part of why you got to start winning football, man. It helps everybody involved. We watched Leon County fellas get heavily drafted this year. Great job.
He's the best linebacker we've had in how long? I mean, you could say old boy who got drafted by the Jaguars. I think he's still in the league from Jacksonville.
I think Perry, yeah, he is quarterman. I think Perry is better than quarterman.
Yeah.
Yeah, he better than quarterman.
I'm talking about Kiko. Like, was he better than quarterman?
I would say. At this point,
I think so. He covers better too. He moves
all around better. Yeah. He's not a run tackler better than Quarterman though, because Quarterman was on the money.
Well, yeah, that's the old school. I'm surprised he made it and been in the league as long as he had.
He's still in the league.
He shed a little weight. He's still
Kiko great at them blitzes too, man. Like timing and all that. Because after the state game, he was wreaking havoc blitzing. Because like if you don't make the tackle, like he disrupting everything. Because he in the backfield.
He kind of reminded me. North Carolina had a linebacker like that a few years ago. He ended up getting drafted.
Kelly. He had a brother. He had a brother. I know who you're talking about.
Well,
he used to be a quarterback.
Same thing. That's what I'm saying. He used to be a quarterback, and I was gonna say that's one advantage Kiko got. He used to be a quarterback. So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's a quarterback. So he got that advantage of kind of knowing both sides of the ball, being able to play that type of football.
Yeah, you know, you're
a play faster.
You got those cadence in your head, like you know when the quarterback's basically about to say hiking. You know what I'm saying? Because you know you like okay. Well, if it's a quiet snap, you just gotta look at the ball. You know what I'm saying? So he's automatically looking at that ball with the center, and he might just know a center has a certain move. When
just little signs, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah, just play a quarterback.
Instincts is up there. Football IQ and instincts are up there. All right, and let's see. We got three more dishes to talk about. Sam Brown, who, you know, last show I said I anticipated him coming in. I like this addition. Productive on a, you know, not so great Houston team last year. Brings in that size to replace Kobe Young, 6'2", just shade under 200.
A lot of people saying they think he's going to start. And I'm like, man, you can't. Cause I think what's his name gonna have a breakout season?
Horton.
Heck yeah! So I mean, it's a good problem to have.
That's where the competition comes. But we run full wide set, but we do some different things. The spell, you know, strip on, maybe do some weird stuff. Put some of put a Brown in the slot. You know that you want as many weapons as possible because that way gives you as many fits as possible.
Might get suspended again. You never know.
Right, yeah.
homie, heads on straight. He say, man, I'm right. Even to play the whole season.
Let's get this money, man. So great addition there. I think, people kind of gassed up on Kobe because he went to UGA, but Kobe Young was inconsistent. A good player, but inconsistent. So I'm absolutely fine taking Sam Brown in his place. I have no issue with that. And then we have Simeon Barrow out of Michigan State.
We got the better version of the D tackle.
You think so?
Potential wise, we did, but statistically wise, we got the better.
X, that's funny you say that. So I was looking at the stats and everything. I'm like, how is this dude not better than the other dude? Like, this man was putting up, he was filling up the stat sheet at D tackle, which is hard to do at D tackle. You know what I'm saying? So that's a good point you just made.
Other kid, I think X kind of put it right. Potential, I think his ceiling is higher. I don't know that Simeon Barrow is going to be much more at Miami than he was at Michigan State. But again, he presented that body type that we just don't have enough.
Because they only got him as a 3-star in the portal, which I found odd too.
Right. And again, that's probably because they kind of see it like I do, like to pretend. I don't know if he's going to be much more. I think he's a good addition to what we need physically down in those trenches. We just need a little more grown managed and just a little more physically imposing down in the trenches. So I think his experience and his physical makeup was a great addition for just – not that I'm expecting him to just, go out there and be like Gerald Willis for us. But if he could just give me a glimpse of that, that'd be nice. I'll take it, just another body, because, I think it allows us to be versatile, especially on third downs, because he's a pretty good pass rusher with that size. So it just gives us one more tool in the tool belt. And then last but not least, be this year's starting running back for us. Damian Martinez out of Oregon State, one of the high-rated, productive guy, Must happen for us while we're waiting on Fletcher to get healthy. We lost Henry Parrish. We lost Devontae Citizen. And we got a lot of great young potential. But some of these guys, you know, Chris Johnson, for example, I'm hearing a lot of good things about him. Hellcat, I'm hearing good things about him. But these guys are still a little more on the slight side. You don't want to necessarily lean on them. And I think Damian Martinez gives us a running back we can absolutely lean on and who could be a true one that will more than likely, honestly, especially depending on how I want to call him Mark Walton just then. Who running back? That's how about a foot surgery. I'm talking to y'all ass.
My fault.
Who the right to have? Both of y'all got quiet as hell. Who's our running back?
Y'all can hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. You was muted. I can hear you now.
Everything went muted. I thought it was just mine, but everything went muted.
I hope it didn't. I was saying, anyway, I was saying, we're waiting on the running back to get back from the foot injury. I'm drawing a blank.
Mark Fletcher.
Fletcher and Najai Allen. Wait for both of those guys to get back.
Oh, I forgot about him too.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, I kept saying in my head because of Mark. I kept thinking Mark Walton. I kept saying, it's like, it's not Mark Walton Jr. Mark Fletcher. Yeah,
Mark Fletcher and Najai Allen. Wait for both of those guys to get back.
You guys
to
get fully healthy. So,
but listen, the name that's been talked about. He come on campus this week. Jordan Lyles, they talking about that kid. Like, he's this year.
He reminds me of Mark Wall.
At
the high school level. That's what he kind of reminds me of.
That's a good comparison, bro.
I think he's faster. I think he's faster.
But I love the contact balance. You know, this is a guy, he's not going to go down easy.
Gets up and down the field.
Tickle him, yeah. He's just going to fall down. He's gonna get those yards after contact.
He got good size already too.
Yeah, he's had the size. I think he got listed at about 210. He's the size you want him.
His body's ready for college.
Right. So, you know, previous to the departures, you know, I wasn't so worried about running back, but it did get a little shaky. And I think Martinez gives us a guy that could be that old school your running back. That we will spell as he basically gets tired, more or less, unless we can get, you know, 22 back in time and he's truly healthy, then I think you're looking at a real vicious 1-2 punch where it's going to be, ain't nobody tired. We just, you know what I mean? We just keeping fresh legs on you. Like, you took them last three, go get three. You know what I'm saying? And then we just going to keep physically imposing back on you that we can use to wear you down in the game. Because, you know, regardless of what people think, we still, you know, threw more than we ran last year, but we were still pretty balanced all in all. Like that narrative is one that fans and stuff want to sell to get that out in the air so that, you know, wide receivers don't want to come to Miami. You know, Mario just going to run the ball 89 times a game. We're actually one of the more balanced teams in the country. We're very balanced as far as run and pass ratio. So, but that was something, you know, it was smart. You want to try to lean on that and try to make it like, yeah, don't go there. They're never going to throw you the ball, even though we had, you know, two wide receivers go crazy last year. Two of the best returning in the ACC. And I think we're going to have a hell of a hell of an offense. I think our offense in general is going to be probably the strength of this team this year, and I don't know if we've had that.
There's really no reason it shouldn't be, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, kind of almost sadly, it was like that a little bit with De'Aaron King. Like, remember getting that NC State shootout? We had to just fight back and claw back the whole time.
I say when we had, what's his name? He's a head coach at UCLA now.
No,
he was a
Chuck.
No.
Head coach at UCLA, that's a black dude.
UCLA, Arizona. Washington. No, Washington. He was at Arizona.
He moved around.
The offense was pretty good with him too. That was like our strength. What's his name, man?
Fish.
Jet Fish.
Yeah, Fish. Yeah, he did. He did run a good, pretty good offense. Well, he was Stephen Morris, right?
Stephen Morris, and Kaya.
I mean, I was gonna say our last like really, really, really explosive offense was Duke Johnson last year.
Who was the OC? Was it Jet Fish? I think it was
Coley?
Might have been Coley.
I think it might have been Coley at the time.
I mean, Duke Johnson ran for 1,600 yards. We threw the ball for like 3,500. So
that's that year we played Virginia Tech and he ran for like 2-something, right?
He was great. That was the boys went out there and was jumping up and down in the sand early.
I knew they were ready that game for something.
We had three linemen go to the league too. I think Feliciano was on there. Cianchar was on there.
Yeah, the Duke whole line was in the NFL. All of them.
Linder was shit.
Aaron Flowers was on that team.
He was playing for what? Jaguars.
Yeah, he was one of the highest paid centers.
He had a career.
Eric Flowers, first round.
He had that before he got sick. Eric Flowers, first round.
That whole line was solid. He played with the Niners. He on my Niners. Played some quality minutes for us too. And I think, you know, it goes to show you the kind of success you can have offensively, because look what we mentioned. We get back to the line. Like, oh yeah, remember all of the linemen actually ended up going out and being NFL players. So that's what you got to hope for your team to truly see that explosiveness in the offense. That line's got to be something special. And I think we're going to be in good hands when it comes to all that. So I'm looking forward to really seeing this offense come together. And, do some gator hunting, man, August 31st. I'm still trying to pull up, man. I want some good tickets and all, too, though. So I started looking. We'll see what's up.
I know for sure I'm going to the USF Miami game.
It's tomorrow. Actually, tomorrow, I think season ticket holders get the first dabs at trying to acquire tickets for those games.
For the Gator game.
You punks in Gainesville, y'all on the clock. Y'all been talking cash shit. Y'all on the clock, man. We're in war mode, man. I just don't think they're that good.
I'm being honest. I just don't think they're that good. They're not gonna play true freshman.
Listen, Larry, I know some of their coaches, man, and them boys ain't excited. They like, yeah, boy, we got a whole lot of this thing is. And I know a coach on their staff. I ain't gonna mention his name because I don't want to put him out there. But he telling me straight up, he like, yeah, man, you know, we might have to start my resumes, man, because.
Yeah, Napier, he ain't going with that gauntlet schedule. Napier ain't going to make it for the season. He ain't making
tough schedule for that dude. They talk about how Mario was brought in with Billy. I think they brought you in to win. I don't think Mario was brought in to win the way the media portrayed it. I think Mario was here to cure the culture and eventually win. I don't think the pressure internally is nothing like the media tried to win.
Mario said when he came in, Mario was going to be like a 3-4 year thing. Like, this one not going to be no overnight.
Yeah, we still
got. But he had to flip the whole roster.
We still got facilities to upgrade. They did a lot. Don't get me wrong, but it's still, you know, close to. Actually, you know anything about that X, about them expanding the indoor? What's the plan on that?
Here's what happened. A lot of the money that they raised for that, they just used for the. The freshmen just got a new dorm, and they shit. They shit like they stand down there in Miami Beach area, man. That shit.
Yeah. I saw it on something un-Miami related. It was just like, yo, look at these freshmen dorms in Miami.
It was just some regular shit
I was reading.
They still planning on doing the football facility, but the IPF can't be expanded until they break ground on the football facility because it's all going to be joined together.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like they can't really break ground.
And
man, that
it's definitely important for patrolling purposes, to be honest with you. Like, you can practice for 70 yards. Now, why they didn't just do the 100 from the get-go is a little weird to me. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, why would you go shorter? But whatever.
I mean, but to be honest, it was smart. It's smart. Because if you just say, okay, well, let's just do 100-yard IPF, that means you just got one field. What they did was say, we're going to put a field for the O-lineman to practice on. We're going to put a field for the skill position to practice on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we need a 100-yard field for when we don't want the skill position to be running to the O-lineman and the D-lineman. We want those guys over there practicing by themselves.
Right.
We want practice on the, I mean, it just makes more sense.
Makes sense. Yeah, what it is. Like,
and the IPF ain't for to be practicing it every day. It's just in case some shit happened outside.
Yeah, inclement weather. Yeah, that's just inclement weather that nasty. Because you know how it is in Miami. Lightning storm hit out of nowhere and you got to shut shit down. That was something that was well overdue. That's why when they said 70, I was like, okay, fine. It's practice. You know, like I said, it was just, like I said, it was a good troll, I guess, to get off because everybody's going to talk about it. Broke Miami is. Until Miami starts spending all these money on players, and now we too rich.
Now we
tricks. Remember, it's an old saying: it is not tricking if you have it. So it appears that they have it. So they're not tricking; they're just spending their bread, and you are pocket watching.
And the crazy thing is, you brag and cry and troll about the I got a 70 motherfucker. All the NFL players coming to practice, and not 70 foot.
And that 70.
That's
amazing. Shit. Yeah, so. 49ers was practicing down there for the Super Bowl when it was down there.
Oh.
LA, it's, you know, you say this shit. I'm going to be paying trolls attention. I can tell people that shit is a full-time job. Your face sucks.
It's Dolphin players who got their own practice facility that's down there practicing at UM.
Yeah. Shit. It ain't for me, man. More power to you. These people ain't paying y'all to talk shit all day. But if it's what you love, man, enjoy yourself. Anyways, we're going to get up out of here, man.
Gainesville, y'all. No, not my bad. My apologies.
No.
The swamp. That's what the trash in the swamp. That's how I'm addressing y'all from now on.
TikTok.
Y'all on the clock, August 31st, 3:30. We're going to be there live in action. I told y'all I'm bringing all my money. Y'all want to bet? We betting on site. I'm not letting you guys bet me online because I don't know who you guys are. I will bet you when I see you.
Straight up.
3:30. We'll be up out of there soon. You know, like my man Maul said, I mean, you can travel over to Orlando if you'd like to.
Yeah, we're going to be in and out, man. We'll be back at accommodations. By 7:30.
Yeah, be up out of there. The nightlife ain't nothing I want to experience in Gainesville anyway. I'm too old.
Around that shit.
I'm ready to be out of there. I'm going to treat that shit like a sundown tent. In, out, never see you again. Or at least in a few years. That y'all fought, not ours. We up out of here, man. Thank y'all for kicking it with us. We'll be back with you soon. Peace.
Peace.
We gonna let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.